Father Gopinath Tundan. On this most special holy celebration of Sri Gaur Purnima, the full moon has risen and the resplendent rays of the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are now spreading in all directions. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, with deep prayer and tremendous efforts, procured a property in Sri Navadvip Dham, very close to the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most people, when they procure a valuable property, it is for themselves or for their business so that they can earn wealth. Srila Prabhupada struggled so much to gain that property, not for himself, but to offer to all humanity and to the whole world. He wanted to invite people from all nationalities, from all races, from all religions to come to Sri Mayapur Dham to receive Lord Chaitanya's blessings, his blessings of pure unalloyed devotional service, or what is commonly called love of God, but not just ordinary love of God. Lord Chaitanya came to give the special quality of the most intimate love of Goloka Vrindavan, the love of the gopis and the gopas for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada named the project Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the full moon who rose on this night from the ocean of the womb of Sachi Devi to give the light of love, to dispel all the darkness of ignorance and bestow the highest benediction of ecstatic love for Krishna upon the whole world. And it was this benediction that Srila Prabhupada was willing to risk his entire life and everything to give to the world. Just a day or so before he left on the Jaladuta, a very old cargo ship, travel across two oceans and three continents for 38 days. Please understand, he was already in quite ill health. He was just about to reach 70 years old, and he had no money except 40 rupees. How many of you young people with 40 rupees, not knowing anyone outside of India, would like to take a cargo ship to America? What to speak of being ill in health and 70 years old. But before he departed, he went to Sri Mayapur Dham, to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to beg for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, to bring his message and his grace to the world. And he went to the Chaitanya Math, the house of Sri Chandrasekhar, where Lord Chaitanya would oftentimes perform his all-night kirtan. And there, at the Samadhi, the tomb, holy tomb of his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada spent the day praying, praying and praying that you have given me this order. Please give me the power to please you and execute this order. Srila Prabhupada took such a risk. Heart attacks, seasickness. When he reached New York, soon after he had a stroke. He had a return ticket. But he stayed. Despite everyone in India was discouraging him to go, and everyone was discouraging him to stay when he was there. But he wanted so much. The more he was in America, in the Western world, and the more he saw people mad after temporary material enjoyments, even in the name of religion, the more his heart was breaking with compassion. He didn't even know them on a material level. But he saw every living being as an eternal pure spirit soul, a brother, a sister, a part of Krishna, and felt so deeply for everyone. And just a few years later, people from Africa, people from Europe, people from America were in Mayapur together under the soothing rays of the grace of Mayapur Chandra, the full moon of Lord Chaitanya's grace, singing and dancing and tasting the sweetness of Krishna. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that he would spread this Nam Sankirtan movement in every town and village throughout the world. He's the supreme, all-powerful personality of Godhead. Why didn't he do it himself? Srila Prabhupada, in very deep humility, put his head down and said, he saved that work for us. He could have done it. This is the beauty of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, we read, Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. He could have won that war like that. All he had to do was open his mouth. He didn't have to move a finger. He could have just closed with one wink of the eye. He could have ended everyone's life that he didn't like. He likes everyone, but the miscreants. But he gave the credit to Arjuna. It is the nature of the Lord's love. Ganga water, water from the Ganges, it's coming originally from the Karna ocean, which is coming from the body of the Lord. It's descending from the spiritual world, the abode of the Lord. It's washing the lotus feet of the Lord and becoming super extra purifying. And Tulsi leaves. Tulsi is an expansion of Krishna's internal pleasure potency, Brinda Devi. Her leaves are Krishna's energy. And yet Advaitacharya, he's offering Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, what Krishna has sent to the world. Does Krishna need them? But because they were offered with love and devotion, the Lord said he was conquered by the offerings of Advaita. And on the basis of Advaita's love and devotion, conquering the Lord in the spiritual world, the Lord descended into this world. Just to show the nature of his love for his devotees. Our acharyas explain this is one of the greatest mysteries and one of the most ecstatic truths, that the all-powerful Lord is overpowered by the love of devotee. We read about Ishwarapuri. His service to his guru, Madhavendra Puri, was so simple, so menial, so humble. Something that not too many people would want to do. When Madhavendra Puri was in his last stage of life, he was physically an invalid, although he was expressing the highest states of prema bhakti. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move. Ishwarapuri, he was a very learned person from a Brahmin family. He didn't just hire some servant. He could have. He personally, with his hands, lovingly, with feelings of the most profound gratitude, he was cleaning the stool and the urine from his guru's body. He was lifting him. He was turning him. And he was constantly singing Krishna's names and speaking Krishna's glories to his Gurudev, thinking there's no one more fortunate in all creation than what I've been given. This simple, humble, menial service. It wasn't that he was out giving lectures to tens and millions of people. It wasn't that he was building massive temples for his guru. He was cleaning the stool and urine of his guru. He was cleaning his body, washing it with his own hands. But because he did it with such devotion, his guru blessed him. My child, may Krishna bless you with his divine love. That one little blessing was the greatest wealth in all of creation. He was the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And of all the great saints that were alive in those days, the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, when he descended into this world in the role of a devotee, he is Jagat Guru. Lord Chaitanya is the guru of all gurus. He accepted Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master. There's a very, very powerful message in that. When Ishwarapuri first came to Navadweep, nobody recognized him. He was dressed in very, very humble, simple sadhu clothes. They were old, perhaps tattered. And he was so totally unassuming. He just appeared like any other beggar walking around. What to speak of offering him respect? Nobody offered him anything. They just considered him another one of these poor little beggars walking around. And he didn't want anything else. So unassuming. He didn't want anything for himself. He only wanted to serve others. And he came to the house of Advaitacharya, where Advaita was engaged in some puja, and just sat there and watched Advaita doing his puja. Advaita looked at him thinking, who is that? Samayavadi, who is that? He just looked like just a simple sadhu beggar. But something really struck Advaitacharya's house. This person, it feels in my heart that he is someone very special. Advaita kept staring at him. And Ishwarapuri was sitting. Mukunda Dutt, he understood something was happening here. So he began to sing a very sweet song about Krishna in Vrindavan. As soon as he started singing, Ishwarapuri, who was trying to contain his emotions, could not. Tears poured from his eyes like streaming rivers. His hair stood on end. He started to tremble and he fell to the ground in ecstasy of love of Krishna. Because Krishna is not different than his name. Sri Radha is none different from her name. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The names of the Lord are the highest, most precious benediction in all creation. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The name of the Lord has descended from Goloka to bless the world. But Lord Chaitanya explained, we cannot understand that intellectually alone. With our intelligence, we can be convinced of it. But the only way to actually experience it, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ibase Hishnana Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. When we are humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offering all respect to others without sense of prestige ourselves, then we could taste the sweetness of the name because Radharani Krishna revealed themselves accordingly. Ishwarapuri was the perfect example of this verse in the way he served his guru and in the way he interacted with devotees as well as the common people of society. He respected all, but didn't expect anything in return. But when he heard the name sung by a pure devotee like Mukunda Dutt, his heart burst and overflooded with spiritual emotion. And everybody saw that. And it takes one to know one. They understood what love of God is. They had it. And they could recognize the extent that this person. And then they realize this is the famous, great, powerful Acharya Ishwarapuri. Actually, before the kirtan, Advaita looked at him and asked him, who are you? Who are you? Are you a Vaishnav sannyasi? And Ishwarapuri's answer, he looked down in the ground, and then he looked up, and he said, I am just the lowest of the low. I have come to see you. That is how he identified himself, from his heart. As he was crying, Advaita put him in his lap and embraced him, and all the devotees understood. This is Ishwarapuri. He stayed for several months in Navadvip. He was at the house of Gopinath Acharya. Gadadhar Pandit, who was Srimati Radharani herself, would every day spend hours studying under Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri had written a book called the Krishna Lilamrita, and he would read it to Gadadhar. One day, Lord Chaitanya, who was then Nimai Pandit, this is before he established a Sankirtan movement, he was the greatest scholar of all scholars. He appeared to be very arrogant in the sense that he would challenge the greatest pundits and the greatest academic professors in all the world to debate and totally destroy them. He was so clever. He would go to the Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Chakravartis, and the great, great pundits. And he would challenge them. And he would establish an argument and say, I dare you to try to defeat it. And they would try to defeat it, and then he would completely annihilate all of their arguments. And he said, so? What are you going to do? They said, your argument cannot be defeated. And then Lord Chaitanya would defeat his own argument. And then he'd ask them, can you establish my original argument? And they tried, and he totally defeated that. Then he said, you can't do it? He said, it can't be reestablished. And then he would reestablish and then challenge them to defeat it. And usually, he was just a teenage boy at the time. And they were big, very learned, elderly gentlemen. They would either excuse themselves or run away. And when they would see him coming, they would hide. This was Nimai Pandit. He saw Ishwarapuri walking along the Ganga. And Ishwarapuri said, who are you? He said, my name. And one of Nimai's students said, this is Nimai Pandit. He said, oh, you are him. And Nimai said, please come to my house for prasad. So Ishwarapuri came, and Sachimata cooked a wonderful offering for Krishna. And then the Lord Nimai offered it to Ishwarapuri. And Lord Chaitanya saw his devotion was so pure and so deep. Ishwarapuri did not know who Lord Chaitanya was. He thought he was just a boy. But every day, practically, Lord Chaitanya would go to Gopinathacharya's house to be with, to hear Ishwarapuri speak. And he found such great pleasure. And one day, Ishwarapuri said, I have written this book, but I think there are many mistakes in it. And you are a great scholar of Sanskrit and grammar. Will you correct my mistakes? And Nimai, who would challenge Gadadhar, he would challenge Mukunda, he would challenge Murari Gupta, he would challenge all the devotees. When Ishwarapuri said, will you correct my mistakes? The Lord said, you are a pure devotee and a lover of Krishna. There can be no mistake in such a great saint as you. Even if technically, grammatically, on any other such level, there are mistakes, it is considered the greatest offense to consider a mistake from someone who is doing it with sincere, unmotivated love and devotion. Whatever you write is an expression of your love. There can be no mistakes. And Ishwarapuri was very pleased to hear his appreciation of bhakti. But he said, but still, for the public, we should correct the mistakes. So one day, as Ishwarapuri was speaking, Lord Chaitanya said, actually, the verb that you just used is a mistake. It should not be atmanepada. It should be parasmepada. Ishwarapuri said, okay. Lord Chaitanya went home. The next day, Lord Chaitanya came. And Ishwarapuri said, actually, I've been thinking about what you said. The verb atmanepada is actually correct. Hare Krishna. The Digvijay Pandit came to Navadvip. Keshav Kashmiri had already conquered every scholar in India who had any
credibility. He was the world champion, undefeated.
As we have said several times, in those days, debate was the sport of India. Compared to a debate between Digvijay Pandit and someone else, nobody cared about the World Cup of Cricket or any of that. This was really fascinating. Digvijay Pandit, he had mastered Sanskrit philosophy, logic to such an extent, he had done lifetimes of puja to the goddess Saraswati. Every time he opened his mouth, goddess Saraswati moved his tongue. Who can defeat that? The goddess of learning, the goddess of wisdom. She was his favorite child. And he was so proud. There were elephants and palanquins and Brahmins chanting his glories everywhere he went. He would come into a town with an incredible procession of conch shells and horns and bands and learned scholars chanting mantras, and they were proclaiming, Digvijay Pandit has come to challenge anyone. And most scholars would just run away. He happened to see Nimai on the bank of the Ganga. It's a long story. And Nimai was so respectful to him. He said, oh, you are such a great scholar. And Digvijay Pandit, yes, of course. We have heard so many things about you. Yes, yes. How Mother Saraswati just manifests whenever you talk. Of course, of course. We are sitting on the bank of Mother Ganga. Could you compose a poem glorifying Mother Ganges? And Digvijay Pandit didn't even have to think about it. And he wasn't quoting something that had already been published. Instantly, he composed brand new original poetry, over 100 verses. It was so eloquent, full of alankar ornaments and meaning and feeling. It was brilliant. Nimai's students, their mouths were open. Their eyes were wide, like, huh, how could anybody do this? It was impossible. It was inhuman. It was superhuman. Beyond. Even the demigods can't do that. And after hearing it, everyone was awed. And Nimai said, that was very nice. Now please explain the positive qualities of it and also explains the many mistakes that you made. Digvijay Pandit was very offended by that. He said, I never make a mistake. And Nimai said, well, what about this one, or what about that one? And he pointed out certain contradictory statements that he made, which were so subtle that nobody on earth could possibly conceive of that. Now here's the Digvijay Pandit. A teenage boy has challenged him. And he was speechless. His tongue would not move. His brain went totally blank. He couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't move. He just stood there. And the children started laughing at him. And Digvijay Pandit was totally mortified. And Nimai said, don't laugh, don't laugh. And he said to the Digvijay Pandit, actually, you don't have to. because you must be so tired, you just compose such incredible poetry like nobody else could compose. So, you know, that must have taken your energy. So please, sir, you know, come back tomorrow and we could discuss the mistakes. In this way, the Lord completely preserved his reputation. Didn't disturb his pride. He treated him like such a gentleman. He honored him. And Digvijaya Pandit went home. And he was Goddess Saraswati. Why? You know, I have conquered over the greatest pundits in the planet, and you have allowed a grammar student, a grammar teacher to defeat me? Why couldn't I think? Why couldn't I speak? Did I commit some aparad? What have I done? And he was crying and he went to sleep, and Goddess Saraswati appeared to him in his dream. And she said, because you are dear to me, the benediction I've given you is not the power of learning to conquer others. The real benediction I've given you is I have brought you before the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, the Lord of my heart. I have given you the darshan of Krishna, who has appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Whatever I know, I only get from Krishna, from Lord Chaitanya. Now go to him and surrender your heart and surrender your life. Then I will be pleased with you. The next morning, Digvijaya Pandit came to Lord Chaitanya's house. That's not what he would do. He would come to a place and everyone had to come to him. He came to Lord Chaitanya's house all alone. There wasn't any marching bands. There wasn't any chanting Brahmins. There wasn't any palanquin carriers or elephants. He came all alone in simple dress. And he bowed, offered his dandavat pranams to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? He said, do you know how I could understand you are the Supreme Lord? Because my arrogance and pride is like a massive mountain. If anyone would have crushed it, I would have died. But you totally defeated me while giving me such respect and honor that you did not disturb me. Therefore, I surrender to you. And Lord Chaitanya very lovingly told him, the purpose of all knowledge is to awaken love for Krishna in the heart. And Digvijaya Pandit left without saying anything to anyone and became a sadhu and a pure devotee. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already defeated every scholar in Navadvip, and he had defeated the Digvijaya Pandit. He's all-knowing. He's the author. Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedyo. He's the author of all the Vedas. The knower of Vedanta. And yet, he was willing to accept intellectual defeat from Ishvarapuri. Why? Because he is conquered by the love of his devotee. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the common pious people of Navadvip how to chant this 32-syllable, 16-word Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. He told them there are no hard and fast rules. Wherever you want to chant, whether you're at home with your family, whether you are in your shop with your customers, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're eating, whether you're going to sleep, whether you're sitting down, whether you just chant yourself, or you chant with your friends, or you clap your hands, or play drums, or cymbals, no hard and fast, just chant. That's all I ask you. Take the name of Krishna. And soon hundreds of people and thousands of people started chanting, and the Chan Kazi, who was the ruler, the Chan Kazi hated Hindus. He proclaimed a law against any public demonstration of any Hindu ritual, especially the chanting of the Lord's names. And he had armies, and he had an arsenal. And when he found out people were chanting, he sent soldiers to beat them, to plunder them, to imprison them. He was really persecuting. And when Nimai heard about this, he told everyone, "Do not fear. Tonight I will lead the kirtan to Chan Kazi's house. Let us see what he does to me. Today I will bring about a monsoon rainstorm of ecstatic love of God through the chanting of the holy names. And I will stand right at Chan Kazi's door like death personified. Bring a torch and follow me." Now this takes faith. Chan Kazi had armies. He had militaries. He had weapons. He'd already demonstrated beating and beating and torturing people. But Lord Chaitanya led that kirtan through the marketplaces, across every bathing ghat, right to Chan Kazi's house. And by that time, there were so many people. Incredible story. It was the first time Lord Chaitanya brought Hari Kirtan into the public. Previously, it was only in Srivasa's house, privately. And the Chan Kazi, when he saw the influence of Lord Chaitanya, he's attracted hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, and they're all loudly chanting the names, and they're all surrounding my house. Chan Kazi, he hid. Lord Chaitanya went right to his door and said, "Where is your Kazi?" And the Kazi came down and he said, "Why, I'm a guest at your house. Why have you not greeted me?" He says, "You appear very angry." And later on in the discussion, he explained to him how the night before, the Lord appeared to him in a half-man, half-lion form and was about to tear the Kazi apart. And the Kazi understood, "You are Almighty Allah. You are Krishna. You are Ram. You are the absolute truth. You are the God of all gods. You are the one supreme being. I surrender to you. And I proclaim anyone whoever rules this kingdom of Navadvipa on my behalf for all generations will completely support and facilitate the congregational chanting of your holy name." Now this was extraordinary. From a historical, sociological perspective, Lord Chaitanya, nobody knew he was God except a few devotees. He was just a Brahmin. One man against the entire Mughal Empire. And he conquered. And after that incredible victory, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a few of his very confidential devotees to Simantadweep. And there he saw the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. It was a one-room, simple, thatched hut. No adjoining bathrooms or anything.
It was the fields. There was no furniture,
not a single chair or desk or box. Everything was just on the floor. And there was nothing on the floor because he didn't have anything. He just had a set of clothes that he wore, and he knotted it, you know, to close the holes. He was skinny. He was selling banana leaves. And half the money he would get, he would give to worship Krishna through Mother Ganga. He was in total poverty from a physical perspective. And Lord Chaitanya saw that leaky roof, little thatch straw, one room hut. And he saw that outside the door, there was a very old, dented, broken iron water pot that cultivator Sridhar used for every possible purpose of cleaning and this and that and drinking. And it says right in the scripture that it was sold and so broken that not even a single thief would even look at it. Wasn't worth the trouble. And Lord Chaitanya saw that water pot and walked right over to it and picked it up to drink the water. As he drank the water, Kulavecha Sridhar, he saw this. He said, "My Lord, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." But the Lord drank it. And Kulavecha Sridhar fell to the ground. He said, "I am dead. You have come to destroy me. I've drunk from that water pot. I've washed my limbs with the water from that pot. And you, my Lord, you're drinking it." And Lord Chaitanya, after drinking that water, started crying in ecstasy. He said, "Because I have drunk the water from Sridhar's pot, finally I have attained pure devotion to Krishna. I have become purified by drinking this water. It is like nectar. It is the wealth of my life. I have drunk the water from Sridhar's pot." And Lord Chaitanya, with a faltering voice, kept drinking and crying and crying. When the devotees saw this, they were besides themselves. They all fell to the ground in such deep emotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just conquered the all-powerful, opulent, wealthy military commander, the Chankazi, and he was totally conquered and subjugated by the love of Sridhar, simply by drinking the water that Sridhar had drunk. The Lord said, "I will not take even celestial nectar from someone who does not have love, pure bhakti. But this water from Sridhar's pot is sweeter than nectar." After conquering Kazi, he was conquered by the devotion of Sridhar. Jagai and Madhai, they wreaked
fear in everyone in Navadvip. People lived in paranoia of them, knowing that at any time they could rape their daughters, their wives, they could kill them, they could set their house on fire. And they were so powerful, even the government would not go anywhere near them. They were Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavarkra. They had that power. And they had that demoniac, evil nature. People feared them. In dramas, Jagai and Madhai, people laugh. But that's not the way they were. Nobody laughed when they were near Jagai Madhai. People ran in total fear. They were monsters.
You see these horror movies in the cinemas with these monsters.
They were more scary than that.
And yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood before them
and they bowed down to Lord Chaitanya in total fear and ultimately surrendered to him and Lord Nityananda Prabhu.
Then a little later, after Lord Chaitanya conquered all the... Not only did he conquer Jagai and Madhai, but he conquered the entire illusory energy and left home and took sannyas. But when he came to Shantipur, in front of his beloved mother Sachi, Lord Chaitanya bowed to her. Lord Chaitanya felt great fear in his heart that he had offended Sachi Devi. He sat on her lap. She wept on him. And he wept on her. And he said with a faltering voice, "My dear mother, somehow or other out of madness I took sannyas. I had no right to do this. You have given me my life. You've given me food. You've given me love. You've given me everything. Now I will do anything you say. If you want, I'll come back home and live with you." Sachi Devi said, "Now you're a sannyasi. People will criticize if you live with me. But you're on your way to Vrindavan. I'll never see you there." It was the Lord's most burning, deepest desire to go to Vrindavan. But Sachi Devi said, "Please go live in Puri instead. Krishna lives there as Jagannath." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who... Jagai and Madhai surrendered to him, he surrendered to his mother's love and went to Puri. And one time Damodar Pandit went to visit Sachi and came back to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya said, "How is my mother?" And Damodar Pandit said, "Why do you ask such a foolish question as this? You know how your mother is. Whatever devotion you have, it's because of your mother. Whatever love you have is because of your mother. Whatever good qualities you have is because of your mother." And what was Lord Chaitanya's reply? He said, "Everything you say is absolutely correct. My only qualification is the love of my mother. Whatever devotion to Krishna I have is from her." Conquered by the love of his mother. At Srivas Thakur's house, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the Mahaprakash. He displayed his supreme opulences as Ram, as Krishna, as Narasingha, as Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune. But one day, while sitting on the throne in Srivas's house, in the role of the husband and the lord of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, he happened to see Suklambar Brahmachari, who was a simple beggar. He lived in a little thatched house in the bank of the Ganga, and nobody knew he was anybody from anyone. He would go out every day and beg. He had a little old cloth bag that he wore around his shoulder, and people would give him some old rice sometimes. Sometimes when a beggar comes, they go, "Hut, hut, get out from here." And other times, you don't give a beggar the best thing you have. You usually give the worst. Just old, broken, dirty pieces of rice they'd throw in his bag. But he was always chanting Krishna's names. And after going to 7, 8, 11 houses every day, he would bring that rice, and whatever he did, he'd clean it nicely and cook it and offer it to Krishna. And that's how he sustained himself. He was the simplest person. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the throne and all the devotees were chanting and dancing, and Suklambar Brahmachari was allowed to watch Lord Chaitanya in the kirtans every day. And on this particular day, Suklambar was dancing blissfully with his bag swinging on his shoulder, and all the devotees were watching him, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Suklambar, come." He said, "In every birth, you are my poverty-stricken beggar. And I cannot resist eating the food that you offer me. And even if you don't offer it, I take it anyway." And people were, "What is he saying?" Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his beautiful golden hand, and he had long arms so he could reach. He reached his hand right into the old bag of Suklambar that was hanging from his shoulder, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took out a whole handful of this raw, broken up, dirty rice and ate it. Then he thrust his hand in again and ate another handful and another handful. And Suklambar said, "What are you doing? This is not fit for you." And all the devotees, "What's happening?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Because of your love, I cannot resist. I am conquered by your love. I am hungry for whatever you have." Some people, they get very, very excellent ingredients and they clean it and they prepare it, and then with mantras and with yantras and with mudras and with all sorts of other rituals, they offer it to me, and if it's not offered in the proper way, I do not accept it. But for you, Suklambar, I cannot even wait for you to offer it. I'm so hungry for your devotion." And he took more handfuls and ate it. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains herein that all the rules and the regulations and the restrictions and the different types of philosophical explanations, they are all servants of one principle: pure love and devotion. And Suklambar's love and devotion crushed all the rules and regulations and all the rituals of all the scriptures into powder. Because he has understood the essence. The husband of the goddess of fortune who revealed the Mahaprakash to all the devotees is begging for the simple rice of this poverty-stricken beggar, Suklambar. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, anyone who saw him, anyone who was embraced by him, became purified. In Puri, when Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to leave this world with such humility, Lord Chaitanya said, "How could I live without you? You are the crown jewel of the creation. I am purified by seeing you. I am purified by touching you." And when Haridas Thakur passed away at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya lifted his body and danced with his corpse and bathed it in the sea. And then he told the whole world that anyone who bathes in the sea, including myself, will be completely purified because it has touched the body of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, by caste distinctions, was untouchable. But Lord Chaitanya considered touching his body, dead or alive, to have purified his whole existence, conquered by the love of his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Advaitacharya, manifested the Virat Roop, the universal form. showing that he was the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the proprietor of everything within the entire universe. But then, in Kumarahata, he said about Vasudev Dutt. Vasudev Dutt prayed, let all the sins of all the people of all species of life in the whole universe fall on my head and let me suffer perpetually for their karma and let them all enjoy your loving association. Give them liberation. Lord Chaitanya was choked up. He couldn't talk. He was crying. He was so moved by the compassion of Vasudev Dutt. That same Lord that manifested himself as the universal form, Virat Roop, told Vasudev Dutta, I am simply your property. I belong to you. Anywhere you want to sell me, I am sold. I have no independence. I am yours. My body, my mind, my words, my life is your property. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he portrayed himself as a fruit seller. He said, I have come with the fruits of love of Krishna, prema bhakti. Anyone who tastes even one of these fruits will be satisfied for the rest of eternity. And I have so many fruits. How many could I distribute on my own? I am pleading with all of my devotees for all time to come, please accept these fruits from me. Taste these fruits. Enjoy these fruits. And help me to distribute these fruits to the world. The Supreme Lord of all Lords is begging all of us to help him. Does he need our help? No. And yes. On the transcendental platform, relationships of pure unmotivated love are not necessarily logical. The Lord wants to give us a chance to enter into that realm of ecstatic love by being a part of his lila. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila, which is non-different than Vrindavan lila, Madhurya Ras, is tasting and distributing the fruits of love of God, prema bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada explained, if we are in this spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, tasting the holy name, tasting the Srimad Bhagavatam, tasting devotional service, and in inspiring others to do it, is Vrindavan Leela. Because it's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela when he comes to this world. King Prataparudra, with all of his power and all of his strength and all of his wealth, he couldn't impress Lord Chaitanya. But when he swept the street in utter humility before Jagannath and pleased the devotees like Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was conquered by his devotion and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Tonight is Gaur Purnima. And in just a few minutes, we will have the Gaur Aarti. If the pujaris could make everything arranged. On this evening, most sacred occasion, let us meditate, contemplate, and offer a prayer of the incredible gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who's asking every living being to taste the sweetness of praying. And how the Lord, it is His greatest pleasure to be conquered by the love of His devotee. This is His pastimes. He could make the tigers and the elephants dance, and the village ladies of Navadweep would make Him dance. He would beg for them, while the greatest rishis were begging for Him. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada captured the very essence of the sweetness of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And not only did He present them in such a wonderful way, but He created a society which is really meant to invite us and the whole world to enter into the eternal transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Even while living in Bombay or Pune or Germany or America or wherever else you may be from, South Africa. We have some very special guests this evening. We have His Holiness Dayananda Swami Maharaj, who is taking the fruits of Lord Chaitanya to the Siberia and the coldest, most difficult parts of Russia, England. We have my dear godbrother, Chakravarti Prabhu, wonderful kirtan singer, wonderful friend and devotee, and Dina Sharana Devi, who's such a very, very loving Vaishnavi, so determined, so enthusiastic. She is a member of the GBC, the second woman after Malati to sit on the GBC body. That's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, these very, very dedicated people who've given their hearts and souls, inspired by Srila Prabhupada's grace, are with us for Gaur Purnima. Let us very, very enthusiastically welcome them by raising our arms and chanting Hari Bol. Let us pray to Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudate Shenma. That from our hearts Lord Chaitanya is described by Srila Prabhupada, that pure devotional service is very rare. But for one who is the servant of the servant of the Lord and serves with sincerity, who is serious without ulterior motives, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu easily gives this crest jewel of all realizations. Love. On this day, let us pray that we can put our egos, our passions, and our selfish attachments aside and truly open our hearts to receive the grace of the Lord. the grace of the Acharyas, the grace of the Vaishnavas, so that we could truly understand the value of that pure desire to be the servant of the Lord, and to take the name of the Lord. And let us pray that we can take shelter of this principle as our ultimate aspiration in life, and not be distracted by the petty egos of this world. And let us offer our gratitude to Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra, to Srila Prabhupada and our parampara, and let us offer our gratitude to each other. Thank you very much.